I'll be presenting on the Cyber Resilience Review, or the CRR. My presentation will build on many of the themes we've heard from the prior presenters. So I think you may find some of the content in this presentation a reinforcement of the things you've heard earlier about resilience in general. The CRR is a derivative of the CERT Resilience Management Model. It is one of the largest uses of the CERT RMM. The CRR was specifically constructed with RMM in mind. It sprung from RMM. So there was a discussion earlier, several discussions, of different types of models. This is a very bright line derivative of the CERT RMM, and we see that as a strength. It is a capability maturity model, if you remember the three types of models that were described earlier. So what is the Cyber Resilience Review? The CRR Cyber Resilience Review is an offering from the Department of Homeland Security, specifically offered by the Stakeholder Risk Assessment Mitigation Branch and our sponsor, Kevin Dillon. It is a way for critical infrastructure organizations to assess themselves in relation to cybersecurity practices. So it examines core practices. These core practices have been distilled from the CERT RMM. It is a voluntary program. There is no mandate to perform CRRs, which I think is another strength. So this is not an audit. It's not regulatory in nature. The information submitted is protected by the Protected Critical Information, Infrastructure Information Act, or PCII. PCI, not to be confused with PCI, is an act of Congress that ensures a safe harbor for critical information about critical infrastructure. I think it's another key to the success of the program. As I explain what we gather and how we use it, it's important to remember that this sharing mechanism, I think, enables organizations to have very candid conversations about their performance. The CRR, and I'll explain the method in detail later, is a one-day facilitated workshop. So you have a team of cybersecurity professionals from DHS coming on site and guiding a conversation, a workshop, if you like, for 6 to 8 hours. That is the total investment for the organization in conducting a CRR. Out of that experience or out of that exercise, we generate a report. The report contains a very detailed understanding of what the organization's practices are, gaps, and gives them a path forward based on the CERT RMM and other sources. All information collected is aggregated, and we practice strict non-attribution. So the information shared with DHS remains confidential. So why do the CRR? What does it provide for DHS, for the nation, for the critical infrastructure owner and operator? Well, there's value at various levels of that stack. For the owner and operator of critical infrastructure, it gives them a very important view into their capabilities at no cost to the organization. And they're given a path forward. So you're given a report that contains detailed options for consideration. So suggested paths forwards if you want to make improvement in these various elements of capability. What does it do for DHS and the nation? Well, the information gathered gives DHS and those responsible for managing critical infrastructure or protecting critical infrastructure the same detailed understanding at an aggregated, anonymized level of where the gaps are and where we might be most vulnerable to a threat. I think that the true value in the CRR, beyond just the report and beyond the information that goes back to the central repository of information, is facilitating that conversation within the organization. One of the things that I've found is that organizations, and this was certainly the case when I was in private industry, seldom make time for the sorts of conversations we've described today, unless there's a specific reason. So the convergence of disparate elements of the organization in a conversation about cyber resilience, I think, is very important. Bring together the folks from the business continuity planning function, IT operations, traditional cybersecurity, facilities, all in a shared session in which the capabilities of the CRR explored is a really important win for the organization. It allows for a shared roadmap or vision. So the organization can all coalesce around a set of ideas on how they might make improvements. And I think something that's often overlooked in the profession or in the field of cybersecurity is the need for a lexicon. Vocabulary matters, and it's often difficult to find a common set of terminology or a common lexicon. And I think the CRR, and more importantly, the CRR coupled with RMM is providing that for us. And as we've talked about the other case studies, Julia was presenting on the work that we do for the United States Postal Inspection Service. James Stevens spoke about the ESC2M2. These also draw on the same lexicon. And I think it's very important that we're, I think, building a common understanding via vocabulary in our profession. The CRR also provides an opportunity to prioritize. So the organization is given a set of findings. It's ultimately, of course, up to the organization to prioritize. But having the capabilities assessed in a comparable way makes that process of sorting and prioritizing easier. So just a brief summary of where we've been and what we've done. We've performed more than 300. When I say we, it's really the Department of Homeland Security with the support of the SCI CERT, more than 300 CRRs. And we've had good participation from a wide range of sectors and organizations. We've been to water treatment facilities. We've been to power plants, critical manufacturing, state and local governments, a very wide swath of critical infrastructure, which is very important in the data analysis that I'll speak to in a moment. In this slide, I'm going to share a few insights that we've gathered performing the CRRs and performing data analysis. So the information here is, again, non-attributable, done with non-attribution. But I want to highlight just a few things we learned and things that we found interesting in our analysis of critical infrastructure. Asset management, which is one of the domains in the CRR. More than 70% of organizations identify critical services. However, of that 70, less than 50% of those organizations identify the assets that support the service. So if you recall the prior presentations today about the CERT RMM and the Association of Asset Service Mission, what we found is although the majority, 70% of organizations, are engaged in the identification of critical services, less than 50% actually take the time to then correlate those critical assets with critical services. Vulnerability management. 55% of the organizations we visited, and just a disclaimer, this is a sample from the total data set of 115, so this is no way definitive or conclusive. 55% of organizations have not developed a strategy to guide their vulnerability management efforts. So if you think of the threat environment we face today, it's cause for pause to think that 55% of organizations, at least those that we've talked to, have not developed a strategy for vulnerability management. Incident management. This is on the plus column, 65% of organizations lack a process to escalate and resolve incidents. So we know there's an enormous potential for improvement there. Although the findings seem negative, I want to couch them in the correct terms, which is if you're responsible for managing critical infrastructure or responsible for the strategy to protect critical infrastructure, these are the sort of insights you need to better guide your efforts. So if you're DHS, this gives you an opportunity to very specifically hone in potentially on the areas that need the most improvement. External dependency management is another, I think, interesting study. Surprisingly, we found that 80% of organizations identify external dependencies that are vital to the delivery of the critical service. So this number somewhat surprised us. We did not think that high a percentage of organizations would identify critical external dependencies. If you think about the discussion that Julia just provided to us about supply chain and external dependency management, the takeaway from this slide is that it's a mixed bag of capabilities in critical infrastructure right now, that there are some surprises in the plus column and some surprises in gaps in critical infrastructure. And the CRR is designed to identify those and help with providing organizations a path forward to remediate them. So just a reminder, cyber resilience review. So the middle word is resilience. We define resilience, and this was described earlier by Jim Cibula, as the emergent property of an organization to continue its mission during a disruption, after disruption, and does not exceed its operating limits. So there's a spring on this slide, and I'm sure earlier, if you had joined us for that portion of the webcast, we talked about the slinker, the idea of a spring. That a spring has the ability, or a slinky, to go in multiple directions and come back to its original shape. If you exceed its operating limit, it's just a bent piece of wire. So the idea is, what are those key capabilities that allow you to flex, bend, and return to your mission or your original shape when you're faced with a disruptive event? And that disruptive event can be a physical event or a cyber event. Just to reinforce, the CRR has a critical service focus. So the first step when we are establishing a CRR or planning a CRR for an organization is understanding what they do. And then from that list of things they do, we select a critical service. So it may be the purification of water, the distribution of potable water. It might be the generation or distribution of electrical power. But the CRR focuses on a specific critical service, which I think is very important. And from the presentation that James Stevens did earlier, the ESC2M2 takes a similar view on this, which is you must understand the specific context in which you're asking these questions about capability. A reason this is critically important is the association of asset to the service. Just to repeat from earlier in the day, we look at assets in four basic classes: people, information, technology, and facilities. And all of those working in combination result in productive activities that support your mission. So just a synopsis of what the CRR is by the numbers. There are 10 domains in the CRR. You'll recall there are 26 process areas in the CERT-RMM. We selected various practices and goals from the CERT-RMM and amalgamated those into 10 domains of capability. Within those 10 domains, we have 42 goals, a total of 139 specific practices, and 13 maturity indicator levels. There's been a good talk about maturity today. I'll explain how we look at appraising or determining indicators of process maturity in the CRR. So that brings us a total of 269 questions in the CRR exercise. The domain structure of the CRR. Each domain has a purpose statement. There are specific goals operating at maturity indicator level 0 through 1. So this is a progression of practice. Think of these as base practices. And these are unique to each domain. So, for instance, vulnerability management will have a set of practices unique to vulnerability management at this level of the hierarchy. At MIL levels 2 through 5, these are questions that are generic and the same across all 10 domains of capability. But the scale is working in concert. So unlike the hybrid scales that we discussed earlier in the day, this is a single contiguous scale. And there are pluses and minuses to both approaches to measuring maturity. I would just like to say that measuring maturity and the commitment that our customers have made to doing this in critical infrastructure organizations and other types of organizations should really be applauded. That this is really taking us past, as I believe Julia described it, checklist or a compliance mindset, and really looking at the DNA or the fabric of the organization. The maturity that we refer to in the CRR is the institutionalization of practice. How durable is that practice? How repeatable? How much confidence can you place that the thing being done today can be done tomorrow? And the thing being done today can be done tomorrow even if a disruptive event occurs, like a cyber attack, a flood, or a hurricane. Another slide on the process institutionalization that I described. So you'll see in the hierarchy, we go from a level 0, which is incomplete, to a level 5, which is defined. And as you go up that stack, the processes are acculturated, which is a very fancy, highfalutin academic sounding word to mean it becomes part of the organization. You've taken it on board. It becomes a facet of the culture of the organization. They're defined, so there is some description of what the process is. They're measured and governed, so a high degree of control. At the bottom of the stack, things can be performed in an ad hoc manner, then moving to a managed but still not as sophisticated degree of control. Higher institutionalization produces more consistent results over time and is certainly more reliable in times of organizational stress. So now I'd like to just review the 10 domains of the CRR. They are asset management, configuration and change management, risk management, controls management, vulnerability management, incident management, service continuity management, external dependencies management, training awareness, and situational awareness. Now, you may notice that the names are somewhat similar to the domains, or rather the process areas in RMM, but not the same. Because these are an amalgamation of goals and practices from RMM, there is no one-to-one correlation between the domains in the CRR and the process areas in RMM. And I think this is a very important distinction to keep in mind. If you think about the design principle the CRR is based on, this is really the path we needed to take. Organizations wanted a lightweight and portable way to assess capability and maturity. And this is what DHS wanted, a single sitting, lightweight approach. So the CRR operates in the sub-appraisal space, much like the ESC2M2, which is not to say it does not result in very reliable information or very reliable results. It's just a more expedient way to reach those with a different expectation around evidence. A summary chart, and I won't read this, that just explains the number of goals, practices, and MIL questions per domain of the CRR. So much like James Stevens did with the C2M2 presentation, I thought I might spend a few minutes just describing what we'll find in each domain of the CRR. In the asset management domain, and this is really a foundational domain, and is the first domain that we tackle in the CRR process. Organizations that don't know what their assets are or have no way of correlating assets to services really struggle in lots of ways. So I would look to this as a linchpin or a cornerstone in evaluating process and capability within organizations. So this addresses activities to deploy assets, manage people. And again, a unique facet of our approach, or the RMM approach, is looking at assets across those four asset types: people, information, technology, and facilities. Change and configuration management is the next domain. This is how do you manage those assets we've just described? What level of control do you have over those assets? Do you know their disposition at any point in time? Risk management is the next domain. Risk management is, of course, a very expansive subject. In the CRR, we're looking for the fundamental tenets of risk management. Do you identify risk? Do you seek out information that tells you the threats you might be subject to? And then you assign a disposition to those risks. Controls management is the next domain. This is activities to establish, monitor, and analyze internal control systems. So this is how an organization actualizes or operationalizes their requirements. In the CERT RMM and in the CRR, we believe that assets have requirements around confidentiality, integrity, and availability. Controls management, or controls, are the ways that you put in place the safeguards to ensure that those requirements are being met. Vulnerability management, I'm self-explanatory, I believe, but this is to identify, analyze, and manage vulnerabilities to the assets in the critical service. This is an ever-expanding topic for us, right? The world's getting more complicated, in some ways more dangerous. So these are technical vulnerabilities, and they can also be physical vulnerabilities. So again, if we invoke the four asset types, this is not just what patch level do you have on your server, but the perimeter around the facilities that house critical systems. How have you identified vulnerabilities and remediated risk resulting from those gaps? Incident management, again, I think this is another extremely important domain, and one that we find organizations often want a great deal of assistance in developing a path forward for a remediation of gaps we find in incident management. Service continuity management, you may know it as business continuity management. This is ensuring that critical services and critical assets are available when you need them, and how to respond when there's been a disruption to those assets. We've talked about external dependency management. Think of this as everything that's not under your direct control. This is supply chain. This is third-party vendors. This is cloud. Training awareness. So now we're going to be a little more introspective. So we're asking, what are the things you do to train your folks to ensure that those requirements, cybersecurity-wise, continuity-wise, are met for your services and assets? Situational awareness is the final domain in the CRR. Situational awareness is the ability of the organization to take disparate pieces of information and build a common operating picture. How do you know which threats your organization is subject to, and how do you know the disposition of your countermeasures? We use a 3-point scale in the CRR. So participants are asked questions from each of those 10 domains, or all of those 10 domains, I should say. And for each question, there are 3 possible answers. Yes, so that means the practice is being executed within the organization. Incomplete, that it's not being satisfied. And no, which the practice is completely absent within the organization. There are pluses and minuses, again, to having scales that are bigger and smaller. We found for the CRR that this is a very effective way to convey in a very finite and granular way potential descriptions of a practice. So it's easy to get your head around, no, we don't do something, yes, we do something, or we sort of do something. I think more elaborate Likert scales are sometimes a difficult proposition in certain settings. So I thought now I would give an overview of the CRR toolset itself. So I've described the setting. We come to an organization, a critical infrastructure organization, and perform this on-site 6 to 8 hour conversation, facilitated workshop. And you see on this slide the various pieces in our tool set. It was very important when we designed the CRR that this tool set be portable, that you go in the field untethered, that you could go to a site with a laptop and perform this without any need to link back to something else. We have a PDF form where we capture data. So there's think of it as a survey. There are all 269 questions are displayed in a PDF form. Answers are collected in that form. The form produces an XML file. The XML file is then imported into an Excel spreadsheet where we score and create a report. The report ultimately is generated in Word. On this slide, this is an example of what one of the domains looks like in the data capture form. And I wanted to highlight something I think was really important for us and a key learning, which was these questions, no matter how much you refine them, will always require some guidance. So one of the key development items we had was how do we ensure that folks with varying degrees of knowledge of cyber resilience, of cybersecurity, of business continuity, can all speak in a comparable way about these questions. So in addition to constructing the questions, we've inserted a hover-over button in the data capture form next to each question. When you hover over that, it gives you expansive and elaborate descriptions of what the questions mean and what potential answers would look like. So this is, I think, one of the greatest aids we provide to the folks who perform CRRs. And we refer to them as navigators. Although navigator, given the healthcare.org situation, may not be the optimal term in the future. So just another view of this. So what we're looking at here in the data capture form are the MIL questions. So these, again, are the maturity indicator level questions. So just drawing the distinction between, let's call them the base level practice questions, which we'll see in MILs 0 through 1, and then the questions about the specific institutionalization of practice at levels 2 through 5. We also have constructed some linkage and automation into the tool set. So one of the things we found, and having been an auditor in a past life, asking questions that are repetitive and irrelevant once you've received sort of a base answer really can destroy that experience in the field. So we have automation in the tool set that allows us to skip or omit questions that have already been answered. So for instance, if you answer you don't have a business continuity plan, it then auto-populates and omits all of the other questions about the business continuity plan you don't have. So this may seem really granular and minutia-like, but this is really important. We found that it's these sort of features that make the CRR very usable and well accepted. So just walking through the mechanics of how we generate the report, what we're looking at here is the scoring sheet. So at this point in our process, we've been in the field, we've had the discussion or workshop with the critical infrastructure organization, gathered the answers, created an XML file. The XML file is brought into Excel, and this is just a screenshot of what that looks like. We then generate the report in the background. Early versions of the CRR were more manually intensive. We would bring the results back and then craft a report in Word without the assistance of any sort of automation. By applying this automation, we've cut cycle time down from about 3 weeks to create a report down to about 10 minutes. So I think one of the themes I heard in other presentations today was that the CERT RMM, in combination with a tool set, is a very powerful thing. And I'd say that was certainly the case with the CRR, which is finding efficiency is one of our goals and one of our continuous goals, which is how can we streamline to make the experience better for the participants, add rigor to the process and to the data, and also reduce the overall cost or obligation when performing these. This also means we can do more of them, to kind of state the obvious, which is if it takes less resources per CRR, it gives DHS a wider reach to perform CRRs, gathers more data, and just improves the process all the way around. Scoring in the CRR, as I explained, practices either performed, incompletely performed, or not performed. The same applies for the MIL questions. A goal is achieved if only all practices are performed within that goal hierarchy. So a domain is scored at MIL 1 if all of the goals, so all of the practices in the domain, are achieved. And then for MILs 2 through 5, it's the same situation. They must be performed. They're cumulative, As we saw earlier in the C2M2, it's a very similar concept. You must be performing all the practices. You must be meeting all of the goals to progress through the stack in the mill levels. This is an example of what the site receives back from a CRR. So what we're looking at here is an excerpt of the CRR report. You'll notice on the right you have a column that's color-coded. The colors relate to the answers provided. If the square is red, that means that the practice is not performed. If the square is yellow, it's incompletely performed, partially performed. If it's green, it's being performed. I'd like to draw your attention to the bottom of this graphic where you see options for consideration. So in addition to receiving a score back at the question level for each of the questions in the CRR, and in this case, it's important to note, for each of the four asset types, you also get options for consideration. So in this case, we're referencing RMM, as we do for all domains and all practices in the CRR. And in some cases, we refer to NIST. In this case, we're referring to Special Publication 800-18. So the takeaway being that the information provided back to the site not only includes their scores, but a path forward in the form of references to the CERT RMM, NIST documents, and in some selected cases, other references. So this is the checkerboard. This is the consolidated heat map. This is the summary view that an organization receives. So you'll see the 10 domains displayed vertically on the left, and then the progression, mill 0, mill 1, mill 2, mill 3, mill 4, mill 5, moving from left to right. And you can see the scoring rubric playing out here, which is you must satisfy all of the goals on the level to move to the next. So I think this is a very useful summary view for organizations, but I think that this chart, which is a bar chart that shows the maturity indicator level, so the mill level by domain, is an even better view for most organizations, a great starting point. You'll notice that there's also a comparison going on here. So not only does the site receive an understanding of their score by domain, they also receive a comparison with all other CRR participants. So you'll notice on this chart that in green, you have your results, so this is your site. And then in blue, it's all other participants. The number one question I think we receive about the CRR data is, how did we fare? How do we compare to our peers? And I think this is just a facet of human nature. You always want to know, not only how did I do, but how did I do in relation to others? And the CRR helps to answer that for critical infrastructure organizations. And just to sort of repeat the theme, in a non-attributable, anonymized way. The final chart is another comparison. So this is also apparent, it's applying a different overlay. So this is percentage of yeses. So think of this, and I know this is a bit nuanced. For the practices in the CRR, this is the percentage that you answer, yes, we do that. So it's sort of related to but independent of the mill scale. And you'll see that there are three lines. There's your results, and then the mean and the median. Again, another powerful view. This is something that was received really well, and I think a great enhancement of the CRR. Julia mentioned early in her presentation a podcast and a podcast series. I just wanted to let the audience know that if you're interested in the CRR, a podcast, so Kevin Dillon and myself, was created 3 months ago and is available, and I believe it's maybe part of the materials that are included in this presentation.